Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, mama, I'm in fear for my life from the long arm of the law.
Got miles to go before we sleep.
Lawman is putting an end to my running, and I'm so far from my.
We will not go gently. We're going to unleash hell here in December.
Oh, mama, I can hear you a-crying. You're so scared and all alone.
Hey, somebody fix this guy's buckle. Hey, let him play football.
I'm coming down from the gallows, and I don't have very long.
On my head? Well, the Pittsburgh Steelers definitely have a high price on their head right now. They are 8-2 with six games left in the 2017 regular season, and they are looking hot, my friends, after a huge victory this evening over the Tennessee Titans. Welcome to the Pittsburgh Steelers Final Score. I'm Brian Anthony Davis, along with Anthony DeFeo, and we are ready to talk Steelers in an abbreviated version because we're at midnight, my friends, and I know you have work, we have work, but we got to talk Steelers, and we're feeling really good tonight, and I have a feeling that there's not a lot of complaints whatsoever. The show, as always, is brought to you by Frank Walker Law, the top criminal defense firm to call in Western Pennsylvania and West Virginia, and home to one of the nation's top 100-ranked trial attorneys in Frank Walker for his PA office. Call 412-212-3878, or to reach his West Virginia office, call 304-712-2089. Also, check out his website, frankwalkerlaw.com. See how he can help you in your time of need. Frank Walker Law, real talk, real experience, real results. It's your show. You call 347-850-8581 to get in and get your thoughts heard. And, you know, they better be joyous thoughts because this was a huge win. I am going to call it a statement win, Tony DeFeo. What is your knee-jerk reaction from this big win tonight, my friend?
I concur. Definitely a statement win. We talked about last week, which seemed like 5 minutes ago, that they have five of the last seven games at home, and it should bode well for their quest for a number one seed or a number two seed. And, I mean, right off the bat, you face a 6-3 team, first place in the AFC South, and you just blow them out of the water. I mean, it was close first couple, like early in the second half, but they, right after Tennessee had their big touchdown start the second half, I thought it was big that they took the ball and went right down the field and made it 23-14. So it was clear sailing from there. And I think there's big things ahead for them over the last 6 weeks.
Yeah. You know, the reason I'm calling this a statement win was because, you know, there were a lot of repercussions if they lose this game. If they lose this game, they are automatically have a tiebreaker loss against the AFC South winner, whether it be Tennessee, or because of a head-to-head loss that would have happened, or Jacksonville with that head-to-head loss. So now they're two games ahead of Tennessee. They're still a game and a half ahead of Jacksonville right now at this point. So it's looking good. 8-2 at this juncture, just fantastic. A 12-4, a 13-3, and dare I say a 14-2 season could be around the bend. That would be absolutely amazing. But I'm feeling great, and I know, you know what? I don't even have a red pen out tonight when I give my grades. I'm just thinking that you know, let's just throw great grades on there because this was a great win. So we're gonna talk defense first. Grade the defense tonight, Tony.
I'm going with an A. And the reason why I say that is because I think it's the first time since 1984 that they've had five sacks and four interceptions in one game. You're down two players in the secondary, and they gave up a couple big plays, especially the one first play of the second half, but you know, everybody talked about the Tennessee's running game and Mariota being able to hurt them with his legs, and they did a great job containing them, and you know, there was some luck involved. Delanie Walker dropped the touchdown pass early in the second, or I guess midway through the third quarter, but I mean, all in all, it was just a dominant game, performance. I think the Titans were pretty good at protecting Mariota coming in, so to get five sacks against him, I think it just illustrates just how great this pass rush is, and Tuitt and Hayward is playing out of their minds. So, and then you got Vince Williams with another sack, six, and kudos to Cody Sensabaugh. I mean, he's not Joe Hayden, but they signed him for depth, for quality depth, and he's on a roster for games like this. When one of your top guys goes down, you know, you have to step in for two or three games and be above average, if not exceptional, and I think he was that tonight.
So your game ball for defense, and I agree with all those candidates. I'll actually even throw in another one too, but I'll let you throw your game ball in first, and I think you missed somebody who was very pivotal in this game too. But go ahead. Who is your game ball winner for the evening on defense?
I don't know if it's going to be a popular one, but I'm going to go with Sensabaugh because I think he gave up the big play, but I think he acquitted himself really well. I mean, you know, stepping in for Hayden. I mean, that was a big point of discussion throughout the week, is how are they going to play without Hayden in there? Now, granted, the Titans don't have the receivers that, you know, other high-powered offenses have, and he might have to face them. You know, it's a big difference between the receivers that the Titans have and A.J. Green, for example, but I think he did really well tonight, and that's why I'm going to go with him for the game ball.
You know what? I agree with that. I don't have a problem with that whatsoever. You know, he gave up that one big play, that one breakdown, but he's coming in. He's looking pretty good. Artie Burns looked suspect at first in the game, especially, you know, he had his woes tonight. He also had some times where he did lock it down and look good. But the guy I'm going to go ahead and give my defensive game ball to, it's got to be Sean Davis. You know, Chris Collinsworth was loving on this guy tonight, and for good reason. He's just all over the place. With Mike Mitchell gone, he's become the captain of that secondary, pretty much. He's with Hayden gone also. He's the guy back there that's now he's pretty much the leader in just his second year of that secondary right now. Even when Mitchell comes back, I think they're looking towards him to lock it down. And he did so, and I was just I was really hoping he would take that ball at the end of the fourth quarter, towards the end of the fourth quarter, all the way to the end zone, because he just looked really good tonight. That guy deserves a pick six. I'm a big Sean Davis fan, and being a guy with the last name Davis, I already have a few jerseys. Everybody in my house is outfitted with a Davis jersey because we waited a long time because Kerry Davis and Russell Davis never got jerseys. So we were able to buy one last year.
Well, I think that's going to be a money well spent, because like we talked about off the air, he's going to be a superstar. I mean, he's somebody I missed, but I missed him because I was focused on Sensabaugh. It was just like a sentimental pick, you know, just for.
No, I do like your pick, though. I mean, that's why we gave a game ball to Martavis Bryant last week.
Not
the most sparkling performance, but a guy who really stepped up. And we'll talk about the offense in just a moment, but let's go to the phone. So we have a number that I don't recognize. 239 is the area code, 330. You are on the Steeler Final Score with Brian and Tony. Good evening.
Good evening. This is Caleb from Fort Myers. How are you guys doing?
Hey, really good, Caleb. How are you?
Hey, man.
Oh, hello. The Steelers won another game, and I got a smile on my face, so.
Yeah, that's, you know what, you can't beat that at all. It's for, you know, this is a game, Caleb, that I was thinking that they were going to struggle with. I mean, at the beginning of the season, I penciled this as a possible loss. I was just worried about this team with a power running game, with a two-headed monster running game. I think this is the second-best quarterback that they faced all season, even though he had a terrible game tonight. But those interceptions were forced. But Marcus Mariota is going to be a star in this league. And they
totally
really, he had some shining moments tonight, but it was way too much. So, I mean, are you going to agree, Caleb, with us that this is a statement win, and this is one that could carry them and keep them in the conversation for the AFC title right up there with New England?
Oh, 100%. I think this game really shows you when they don't shoot themselves in the foot like they did in the first half, they really cleaned it up in the second half with missed tackles and penalties. I think it really shows you what they can do. And they could really beat anybody in the NFL.
Yeah, you know what? I'm feeling pretty good. Let's go ahead and give you an opportunity to give out a game ball on defense tonight.
Oh, man, on defense, I'd have to go with Cam Hayward. He's been so consistent this year, and it just shows again this game. He was in the backfield almost the whole entire game. I mean, they double him sometimes, and he still manages to get in the backfield. So my game ball has to go to the disruptor, Cam Hayward.
You know what? You can't go wrong with that pick either. You know, I think Cam Hayward is the heartbeat of that defense, and feeling really good about that selection. So, Caleb, I hope you're smiling again next week in another 10 days when they battle the Green Bay Packers, and we're going to have another late-night call because it does not look like that game is going to be flexed out at all, and that's going to be on Sunday Night Football. So it's an Aaron Rodgers-less Green Bay Packer team, so let's keep this train a-rolling, my friend.
Yes, sir. If you guys keep me on hold so I can listen to that show, that'd be awesome. And other than that, have a Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving.
Caleb, thanks.
You too, man.
And be sure to call again. I will keep you on hold. Take care.
Take care.
All right, great. Hey, first-time caller there. Great to hear from Caleb. You know, really good call. I like his assessment. He's smiling. I think Steeler Nation's smiling if they're not already in dreamland. But got to feel good about that entire performance. And one of the reasons, Tony, that I'm feeling good is the offense. I think Ben Roethlisberger, I think the monkey's off his back. I think he proved it at the end of that Colts game. I think he proved it tonight. Again, he came out looking crisp. There's a lot of talk. They got to do more no huddle. He came out and did it. He looked completely in control tonight. Even though his stats were not amazing, I mean, you got to love the fact 4 touchdown passes, no interceptions. That's a great game. And he just looked like he was back to that Ben level of about 3-4 years ago. And this was a Pro Bowl performance. This is not a Pro Bowl season, but it was a Pro Bowl performance tonight. And so I'm going to actually go ahead. And he's not the obvious choice for a game ball, but for the second week in a row, I think Ben Roethlisberger deserves a game ball for this performance. He's really coming on at the right time. Tony, what do you think?
Oh, I can't disagree with that one. I mean, I think it's a really good choice. I mean, 4 touchdown passes. I mean, you know, we've been talking about his, you know, home Ben and road Ben and how much better he plays at home and how much better he plays at home in prime time. And tonight was just vintage Ben and how he's looked so many times with the lights on, with Chris Collinsworth calling the game, you know, Al Michaels, those kind of people, you know, 4 touchdown passes. And last year against the Chiefs, he had, was it 5 on Sunday Night Football. So, I mean, I think it's great news. I mean, cause this is what, you know, can be the difference between them being a number 3 seed and number 1 seed or a number 2 seed is his performance down the stretch at home. And if he, you know, he's not going to put up 4 touchdowns every week, but you know, I think this is big for everybody's psyche who's worried about him just not having it anymore. He certainly had it tonight. And I don't think I think it's just the beginning.
So in primetime home games, Ben Roethlisberger is now 19-3 in his career. That, you could not ask for anything better than that unless you're really greedy and won 22-0. But 19-3, so we've got a new Ben. We've got a road Ben. We've got home Ben. But I got to tell you, I love primetime Ben. And primetime Ben,
I love him.
Yeah, he really showed it off tonight. And there's some other things that Ben did tonight. And he something that he hasn't been doing. He was extending plays tonight, and it seems like at the beginning of 2017, Ben was just going down, getting hit and going down. Tonight he was fighting.
Yeah.
And he was fighting at the end of that Colts game, too. It's like that light came on. Maybe getting cussed out by Todd Haley did the trick. Because, you know, you have a Ben that I love the drama of Ben Roethlisberger. And when I talk about the drama, I love all the drama. I love the passive aggressiveness. I love the retirement talk. Just because I just love the fact that he's not afraid to go out and make headlines when that microphone's near him. And he's always passive aggressive. But this week we had a different kind of Ben. It wasn't completely passive aggressive Ben, like, well, maybe this gunslinger's got a little stuff left. He was just going after it. So he's turned it into, I've coined him, grumpy old Ben. And
that's a good one, yeah.
So
yeah,
defiant
like
Ben. And I love defiant Ben. So let's have a fourth one, defiant Ben. And if we can have primetime defiant Ben, you're going to have the best Ben you're going to have. So with that being said, I've got to give the offense an A, too. You know, the running game did not have it going, but they really didn't need to have it going. I'm going to not steal your thunder. I know who you're going to give the game ball to. So you might as well just say his name right now.
That's because the easiest one yet, Antonio Brown.
Yeah. If you don't say that, I'm going to be shocked.
Oh, yeah, there's no sentiment on that one. It's definitely that's the real deal. I mean, look, just
yeah, really,
look at the catch
and
he made
no
on
explanation
that.
Needed.
No, no. I mean, look at the catch he made on the sideline before the helmet touchdown catch, which, by the way, he's already done before, and they didn't even. I don't think they remember that he did that. In
Collinsworth
in
did not remember, and
I am
one of the few people that love Chris Collinsworth. Everybody,
oh, me too. I think he's really
that.
Good.
I'm one of the few Pittsburgh fans that has the weird combination of loving Chris Collinsworth and completely abhorring Pittsburgh Dad. I hate Pittsburgh Dad. And I'm one of the few guys that have that combination because there's no one else like it. But Chris Collinsworth, I thought he put on a clinic once again tonight, and that was one of the few mistakes that he made, but he was on all night long. And Antonio Brown, that catch, yeah, because that catch came – the helmet catch came in 2011 after the 2010 season in the playoffs against Baltimore. It really he was a rookie, and it was just an amazing catch. But this one was prettier.
Right.
This was something to really – it was majestic, something I wrote in my knee-jerk article. Let's go to the lines. This is an old favorite, 832-256. You don't even need an introduction. I'm not going to ask who you are. Just take it from here.
Woo!
Hello, you're on the final score.
Hey, buddy. What's going on, guys?
Hey, Melvin.
Melvin, I knew it was you.
Hey, man. This is what a 30-point offense looks like. This is what Ben Roethlisberger from 2007, 2008, 2009. This is what it looks like. This is what a championship defense looks like that gets bending, keeps bending and bending and bending, but they never did break. Still averaging 17 points or less a game. Boy, you just don't know how happy I am. All receivers, with the exception of Eli Rogers, were involved in the game and caught balls tonight. Ben looked like vintage Ben. I am so glad that we can get this. We're just waiting for the breakout game. This was the breakout game for our offense. We know that no huddle works. Let Ben do what Ben does best. Maybe I didn't run the ball a lot today, but he's still catching the football. Great game. Enjoyed it. They could have tucked it in. We had those first two interceptions, and we only got 6 points off interceptions. We could have tucked him like, oh, Lord, here we go. The Steelers going to play down to an opponent. We demolished them. And I think as Steeler fans, this is what frustrates us the most. We know that it is in this offense's power to do. We know it's in their power to do, and we don't do it. There's absolutely no reason why that we can't be scoring like this and playing this well. I like Martavis Bryant. Martavis Bryant is attacking the football. He's attacking the football now. A.B., if he ain't the best receiver in the world, I don't know who is. Julio who? Everybody talk about Julio. Odell who? Antonio Brown is the best in the world. And the reason why he's best in the world is because you know you got to stop him, but you still can't. Juju Smith-Schuster, love that kid, making big catches in traffic. That's not easy to do when you're 20 years old. Just turned 20. Good job by all, guys, man. Let me hear what y'all got to say, man. You know I'm on cloud nine.
Melvin, let me ask you a question first, because I know your age, because we've talked about that all the time. But how long have you been a Steeler fan?
I've been a Steeler fan since 1976. I have a Christmas ornament of Lynn Swann that I made in kindergarten that my mother still has.
Oh, that's awesome.
Now, were you living in Dallas then? Are you from Texas?
I was born and raised in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. And to be quite honest, what ended up happening when Jefferson Street Joe Gillum from Tennessee
Jefferson
State
Street
University,
Joe, yep.
Was 30 minutes away from where I live, when he became a Pittsburgh Steeler and he started as a quarterback, every African American within 50-mile radius instantly became a Pittsburgh Steeler fan, and they've been that way for a lot.
You know, I actually have a copy of that that epic Sports Illustrated, too, with him on the cover.
Oh, man, I would love I'd love that. I mean, it was that's the way it was growing up. My dad, he was a Raiders fan because he liked the Raiders, you know, because you remember the Raiders back then, they were dirty, they were nasty, they were cheap, they would beat you up. He loved the Raiders, but he's always had a soft spot in his heart for the Steelers because of that. And quite frankly, his first cousin is, that's who I watch games with the Gillum family. So, I mean, yeah, that's the only thing that I know. And my mother already knows. Quick story. Last year at Christmas, when we played the Ravens, my family knows I love the Steelers so much. When we came back from church, we didn't open presents until after that game was over.
That's awesome.
So,
that,
you know,
that
I'm on cloud
great.
Nine, man. You know I had to call in, but yeah, I am on cloud nine. I am
I'm
so
glad you're
happy.
I have one more question for you. One more question. You mentioned that Julio who and AB being the you know, the best receiver in the world. Who's the best Steeler receiver of all time?
You know what? That's kind of an unfair question because you have to. It's real hard to try to compare eras because when Lynn Swann and John Stallworth played, you know, Terry Bradshaw set a Super Bowl record for throwing like 300 yards. 300 yards. I think it was like 328 yards when they played the Rams in '79. I think. But now, I mean, when it comes to hardcore, if it's got to be done and going to be a complete, total all-around receiver, I'm going to say Hines Ward. Because A.B. doesn't block like Hines Ward. Lynn and John Stallworth didn't block like Hines Ward. All-around receiver. Let me get Hines Ward. Now, if I gotta take the top off of defense, give me Swann. Give me Stallworth. AB really has no business being on the outside with his size. He's really a slot receiver. But he makes it work. I mean, AB is hungry. Because when you really think about, when I think about wide receivers, other than maybe in recent years, Plaxico Burress was kind of celebrated coming out of college. Hines Ward wasn't. Antonio Brown wasn't. John Stallworth wasn't. Lynn Swann was, heralded out coming out of college. I mean, and Quintus Kemp, another great receiver that I have love for, Lewis Lips. Lewis Lips just didn't have quarterback.
Oh, yeah, me too.
Lewis Lips just didn't have, I thought he, if he, could, if you had Lewis Lips playing with either Terry or Ben, I mean, because, you know, them Mark Henready years, them, I mean, not Mark, but Henready, them years, those were some lean years, brother.
Sure,
but yeah, so for me, with a smash mouth offense, give me Hines. With, I think Lynn and Stallworth, they were born too early because they were tearing up in this, we can't touch receivers, we can't hit receivers going across the middle in the head, you know, because those cats, when they play, you know, they could take their head off, take your head off. Well, that's the Hayes and them cats come across the middle. So I'm going to always have respect for those guys. But could you imagine a Lynn Swann or a Stallworth, and they can't touch you? They can't hit you in the head? They got to hit you in the leg? Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, AB right now, I mean, he's really the best in the world. However, I love his swagger. But he still needs to play football. There's no reason for you to make a catch and have that ball out like a loaf of bread so that it can be fumbled. You still got to take care of the ball. It's all about having fun, but take care of the football, man.
Well, I tell you what, I wanted to get you going on that. And, you know, the bottom line to it is that's an amazing amount, Rushmore plus one when you add Louis Lips in there. I mean, that is just not many teams can boast all-time receivers like that, because that Mount Rushmore, I mean, it would be hard to replace anybody on that. So, Melvin, keep on smiling. You have a fantastic Thanksgiving, my friend, and I hope you're smiling next week when the Green Bay Packers roll into town on prime time.
Appreciate it, fellas. Key word for next week, no huddle. And I'm out.
Happy holidays, Melvin.
Melvin. One of our all-time favorites, Tony. AB is all-world, Tony, but, you know, I think he belongs in that all-time conversation, too.
Antonio Brown, absolutely. I mean, the things I've seen that man do already, and I don't even think he's 30 years old, and he's just so clutch. I mean, tonight wasn't there was no need to be clutch tonight, but, I mean, just the play he made last week, I mean, Big Ben made the you know, his vintage play by you know, breaking the tackle and hitting him. But, I mean, he just comes through time and time again at the end of games, like the Kansas City game, like the catch he made against the Browns in week one. He's just such a clutch player, the divisional clincher last year. He's just – I think he's phenomenal. I think he's going to be the best when all is said and done. I mean, blocking, you know, Hines Ward, that's like, you know, he's always going to be known for that. And far few receivers are known for that. But – just in terms of all-around ability, and I mean, he fights all game long. He just fights the very best on the other side. He's just a phenomenal player, and I have nothing but great things to say about him. I don't care about any of the off-field stuff because none of it's illegal, like I've talked about before. It's just him being it's just his personality, whatever. I could care less. Just keep doing what you're doing on the field. He's just amazing.
Those even number 80 receivers all time, 82, 84, 86, and 88. Hey, we're gonna go to the phones one more time. But before we do that, let's hear this message from Frank Walker.
Smart or stupid? Those strobing lights in your rear view, that flashlight shining in your face.
License, registration, and insurance, please.
The little adventure you're about to have with this guy?
I'll need you to step out of the vehicle, please.
Okay, so you've done something stupid. Fix it with a smart move.
For DUI or criminal defense, call Frank Walker of frankwalkerlaw.com. He knows his way around a courtroom. 412-532-6805. 412-532-6805 or frankwalkerlaw.com.
FrankWalkerLaw.com. Real talk, real experience, real results. So, really excited about the final score. The Steelers cracked 40 tonight, and that's a big deal because they didn't even crack 30 all year until now. But, hey, we said this all along. This team has not reached its full potential. And look at the future that they have. And tonight, I think the future came on prime time, full throttle, and they're ready to go. Tony, let's go to the phones right now. 859. This is a long time a caller. You're on the air with Brian and Tony. It's Steelers final score.
Woo! That was
Ric Flair's on the line with us tonight.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
How's it going, my friend?
I'm doing well. Doing well. This is Tony from Louisville.
Hey, Tony. How are you?
I'm doing all right. How about you all?
Great.
Doing well, my friend. Hey, you can't beat a big Steeler victory against a really good football team. I know it seemed like a blowout, but it was a blowout at the end, but that game was a lot closer even in the middle of the third quarter. So Tennessee's a good team, and that's why I'm calling this a major statement win. What's on your mind tonight, Tony?
Big plays and big times, because you're right, it was a close game, but every time it got close, they made a big play. They got a pick when they needed it, and then made it a 40 to whatever, 17 game or whatever that ended up being. I got a little too drunk near the end, so I can't really remember the end score.
Well, that's good, too. I mean. So, any thoughts on the game?
Yeah, it was, first of all, I hated the camera view for the entire
thank
game.
You for thank you. We needed to bring that up. And I'm glad you did. Go ahead. Keep on going. I didn't want to interrupt you.
God, I mean, it's all right when you're playing Madden, and it's all right for, like, I don't know, like two plays out of every series. But the entire game, it's just, I don't know. Maybe I'm just used to watching the game the way I've been watching it for the past 20 years. But just watching it like that, I feel like I'm missing a bunch. It cuts out, like, the angles are weird. Whenever they throw it to the outside, you can't even see where the ball's going until it's caught.
Yeah.
It's just,
I had a hard time throwing the ball.
It made
it
me
was
mad.
Giving me a headache watching that
yeah.
sky cam.
Yeah. It was almost not as entertaining. Like I was fixated on that and not the game for like half the time. It took me out of it.
And I tell you what, I complained the whole time. I absolutely hated that innovation, and I know Mike Tirico was talking like in the third quarter how great it was, trying to convince us that it was okay.
Yeah, right.
Because they probably heard already that fans were not liking it. I hope this doesn't continue, but I'm sure it's going to be forced down our throats.
Yeah,
Tony, what do you think
about
the Skycam?
I did not like it one single bit. I all the kickoffs tonight. Every time they kick off, I thought they were kicking it short. It looked like it was just like it was like one of those. And here, because I couldn't see the guy in the end zone. And every time they would throw like a 5-yard pass, I would joke and say, I can't tell if it's 20 or 5, because it was like the depth perception was just awful. I don't know how that anybody could ever say that they would like that view. I don't care if you play Madden. I don't care if you're 20. How old you are. Nobody's going to enjoy watching a game like that. I'm sorry. It's just
it was like one of those Japanese cartoons that gives you a seizure. I was waiting to go into a complete seizure watching that, because I was getting a headache. I couldn't follow it, and I guess this is, I talked about grumpy old Ben earlier, but it's grumpy old Brian, because I was like, yeah, no, this isn't my brand of football.
I feel like in like 20 years we're going to be telling our grandkids, back in my day,
sideline view.
God,
well,
I hope it doesn't come to that.
Here's what I'm hoping it does come to. 8-2, and we're complaining about this in the playoffs, because I tell you what, this team is destined for the playoffs, destined to go far. I still think they're team turmoil. I don't think anything's fixed as far as the feistiness of this team, because we saw it this week with the feud between Todd Haley and Ben Roethlisberger, and it always seems something. But I think this is a team that needs drama. And
yeah.
And that's just the story of 2017, and at this point, I'll take it. But that team did. There's one thing. We could have all this talk, but when it comes to on the field, that's a unified team. The defense is unified, even in their celebrations. That defense really came to play tonight. And they knew they were coming in with a man down, two men down.
Yeah.
They knew it, and that next man up policy really came up big for them, because Cody Sensabaugh, who was the starter at the beginning of the season, and when Joe Hayden, the gift from Cleveland, you know, comes in out of nowhere, then he got relegated to the bench. But, you know, that's a good football player there too. So the defensive backs are deeper than they ever were. When William Gay does not have to be front and center, but he just has to be there, that's a big deal. That's good for that team. Artie Burns is still young and learning. He scares me. But this team is gelling, and I still don't think they played their best football. And that's the best thing you could say, that this team still has so much growing to do, and they're 8-2, and they just put up 40 on a Dick LeBeau defense. So with that being said, you know, blue skies are ahead, and let's just hope they're black and gold skies, and maybe with some confetti and glitter falling down upon them.
Well, a couple of things. First of all, living in Louisville, I can't say that Steelers are team turmoil. It has to be University of Louisville. At least Steelers don't have prostitutes and Adidas running around wild.
That's a good point.
Give him time.
Secondly, the back end of the defense anymore, the four of them are, I don't want to say irrelevant, but the way the front seven is playing these days.
Yeah, it's overwhelming.
I don't know. I think we could actually have Ross Cockrell and Blake back there, you know. Because we're actually getting pressure these days. We are getting to the quarterback. We have Tuitt and we have Cam Hayward getting back there like almost every other play. And then we have outside linebackers that are getting there. And then Vince Williams playing like Lawrence Timmons circa 2009. You know, everything on the front seven is firing full cylinders right now. And it's making it kind of easy for the back end of the defense.
And you know what, that's why these guys were selected when everybody was crying for a first-round defender in 14 and 15, and they're going Ryan Shazier, and they're going Ryan Shazier in the first round and Stephon Tuitt in the second round. And then they're going the next year with Bud Dupree. So that's why these guys were being selected to and people were saying, hey, we don't need linebackers. We need defensive backs. But, you know, at that point, it's paying off. When you're absolutely correct, Tony. When you're getting pressure, you're giving those guys more time, and they're not getting burnt. Now, I did make a joke in my column tonight that I called him Artie Burnt instead of Artie Burns. And, you know, But he's a young, aggressive player that he's going to live and die by it. But he's not getting his hand caught in the cookie jar. When I say cookie jar, I'm like on another guy's jersey as much as he had at the beginning of the season. So that guy's really growing. And at the end of the game, on the one interception, he cut off the route. He completely made that play happen, and he was yards away from it. I believe that was Gordon's interception.
He wasn't fooled whenever they tried to run that trick play with Eric Decker whenever he had the option to throw it. He was right back there in the back of the end zone on his man.
Yeah, that's true too. And so that's when that's your weak link on the defense, that's a pretty good weak link to have if you're going to even go as far as calling him one. But this is becoming a complete defense. Just got to keep him healthy, get Joe Hayden back, and they're even stronger. And that definitely looks like a possibility. So, Tony, have a happy Thanksgiving. Thanks so much for calling in, and we will talk to you next week.
All right, you have a good one.
All right,
take care, man.
Take care. Tony from Louisville. I guess he's right. I keep calling the Steelers team turmoil, but the agents and prostitutes and shoe companies in Louisville right now are probably making us seem like a bunch of choir boys. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I'm sorry, that program might be headed for the death penalty.
I would have liked to have partied back with them maybe when 20 years ago. But but at that point, you know it's getting late in the show. You know I'm getting tired. And so when I start saying things like that, it's time. Your job, Tony, is to cut me off. So give me your final thoughts going into the a nice rest for the Steelers, too. A 10-day rest. So give me your final thoughts, and we'll say goodnight.
Well, it's like we talked about at the beginning of the show. I mean, this is tonight is, I believe, it's going to be a preview of what we're going to see down the stretch. You're going to have – now you have, four of the last six games at home, and this offense performs so much better at home, and the defense is just at home and on the road. So I think – you know, if they don't win 13 or 14 games, then, you know, shame on them. So I think we're in store for some very big things down the stretch. I truly believe that. I'm not just saying that as a homer. I truly believe that based on the fact that they survived the first nine games playing ugly, and now tonight they came out and just, like you said, made a statement in front of the whole world.
Yeah, in prime time, in front of the entire football world, they really announced themselves with great authority. So right now, in my mind, it is the New England Patriots, and it's the Pittsburgh Steelers right up there with them. I know all eyes are on that Week 15 game, but you know, the very next, the only thing we have to worry about is Week 12 in prime time. With primetime Ben against the Green Bay Packers, and that's at home, and that's the only thing they've got to worry about. So the Pittsburgh Steelers have earned themselves a nice 10-day rest after a very short week, and they could smile all the way into Thanksgiving and know that whether they're team turmoil or not, I want to give them another moniker, and it's Team Destiny. I really think that's where this team is going. So for BehindTheStillCurtain.com, I'm Brian Anthony Davis. That was Anthony DeFeo for the Steeler final score. It was a great victory. Tony, I hope you have a wonderful Thanksgiving. I hope you make it through the Redskins and Giants in prime time. And maybe we should just replay this game. Maybe that's a good thing to do at the DeFeo household.
Sounds great to me. You have a happy Thanksgiving too, Brian.
All right, buddy. Once again, Steelers final score 40 and the Tennessee Titans 17 in primetime at home. It's a glorious evening. You know, it might be cold outside. It might be raining outside. But in my mind, 80 degrees and feeling fine. Have a good night, Steeler Nation. We'll see you next week. Bye now.